right, what's going on? I tried to make some adjustments to my mobile microphone, and hopefully we're going to get a little bit of a better quality. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think primarily what I'm going to discuss today is going to be about boxing. And there's a fight tonight under the PBC promotional banner. And that is Showtime Sean Porter versus Yordanis Ugas. Ugas being a Cuban fighter challenging the title. So the welterweight division is very stacked, as you all know. And currently, the best welterweights are probably still Bud Crawford and Errol Spence. And Sean Porter has to show the world that he belongs. And hopefully for himself, score a big fight with one of those two. And that fight is going to be an important fight in that regard for the welterweight eventual throne unification. So from Ugas's perspective, he's a Cuban fighter. And I think by now, my listeners hopefully know more about people of Cuba. And if you guys don't know about Cuban boxing, to give you a quick perspective, Cuba dominates the sport of Olympic boxing, or if you want to call it amateur boxing. So they have the best Olympic style boxers in the world, and they dominate. And because of the diplomatic and political relationship of Cuba with the United States, these great fighters don't turn pro unless they're able to defect the country of Cuba. And because of that, most great Cuban fighters don't come to the United States as professional boxers until they are rather old. I mean, but not old enough to be completely old, but still not early enough. So they don't come in as teenagers. If they did, I think they would be doing a lot better. Even with the current situation, they do such a great job that they produce professional boxing champions. And in Ugas's case, I think this is a great opportunity for him to step in and challenge for the title and potentially win the title. So that's why I'm excited about this fight. And next weekend is going to be one of the biggest fights of 2019, because Mikey Garcia is challenging Errol Spence. Mikey Garcia, as you guys know, is a smaller fighter compared to Errol Spence. Garcia, coming from a boxing family, a thoroughbred fighter. Because of his ability and talent, this fight's happening normally, lightweight, jumping up and fighting one of the best welterweights in the world. That fight will be just straight up dismissed, but because it's Mikey Garcia, that's going to be a big fight taking place in the AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys. And for that specific fight, I'll probably talk separately as we near that fight taking place next Saturday. PBC is the promotional banner that's hosting these two fights, and PBC is one of the big three. Boxing is currently an oligopoly run by PBC, Al Haymon and the PBC Professional Boxing Championship, and DAZN, the streaming giant, and ESPN Top Rank, collaboration of Bob Arum Top Rank and ESPN. So those are the three. As far as PBC goes, Premier Boxing Championship, Al Haymon played a big role in resurrecting the sport of boxing, and he created PBC and signed a bunch of young fighters. He was the manager of Floyd Mayweather and was very instrumental in scoring big fights for Floyd Mayweather in his later years, and responsible for helping Floyd Mayweather gain 9-figure income from boxing in his later year. From single fights, he would make hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's largely due to Al Haymon's advice, according to Floyd Mayweather himself. And he's a very shrewd businessman. He comes from a event promotions background, and he is also a manager, so he's playing this dual role. And legally, that's not entirely appropriate, according to some. And also, I think just from strictly legal point of view, promotions and management are supposed to be separated, according to the Muhammad Ali Amendment, or whatever that legal term is that was named after Muhammad Ali, that separates management from promotions, because managers acting as promoters are so empowered that they can take advantage of fighters. That was why that legislation was created. But in from Al Haymon's perspective, he does seem to do very well. Just from an outside observer's perspective, I should say, Al Haymon seems to do well for the fighters, and he's hosting fights every weekend almost, or at least every other weekend, that are decent fights. And Fox has a deal with Al Haymon and the PBC. The second big player is DAZN, D-A-Z-N, DAZN. They started out as a streaming service company. And as you guys know, if you're a typical streamer, you kind of knew back then that streaming was coming in to replace typical pay-per-views and things like that. But people were illegally streaming. And with DAZN, you pay a subscription fee and you stream boxing. And they're also associated with not just boxing, but some other sports too. So they're a technologically savvy company that's taking streaming to a whole new level, subscriptions. And finally, companies are catching up to streaming. And for example, HBO Now, which I recently resubscribed to watch Game of Thrones and a couple other shows. And of course, Netflix, the biggest one. So when you take that to sports, DAZN is the beast to be. And also, DAZN has agreements with the NFL to stream NFL games in other countries. So through DAZN, if you don't live in the United States, you watch football. So DAZN is a big player, and they gave Canelo Alvarez a huge amount of money, and also just signed Triple G. So Canelo is making DAZN a very big player in boxing, and Golden Boy Promotions and other promoters are siding with DAZN to make them one of the biggest players. And in reality, I think Canelo is really making them a very big player. And the third big player is Top Rank. Top Rank's partnership with ESPN. So Top Rank, ran by Bob Arum. So Bob Arum's a long time boxing promoter. He's very old, in his 80s maybe, but he's participated in some of the biggest events in history of boxing. He's one of the biggest boxing promoters of all time, and for years it's been a duopoly with Bob Arum and Don King. Currently Don King is kind of out of the picture, and Bob Arum is still a big player in boxing. So Top Rank, and Top Rank then partnered with ESPN. So with ESPN Plus, also kind of a streaming service, also put puts on stuff on regular TV also, I believe. Not quite familiar, but ESPN can broadcast some fights and also make let you watch fights through streaming. So them being the third biggest player, notable fighters and signings include Lomachenko, and also recently Tyson Fury just signed with them. And the heavyweight picture, of course, you have Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, the big three. And Deontay Wilder currently hear that he's looking into signing with Top Rank ESPN, or at least with ESPN, so that he can score that big rematch fight with Tyson Fury. These two are great trash talkers and they're entertaining fighters, and they put on a nice show in their first fight, so I think that would be a good thing if that actually takes place. And I think Tyson Fury's deal was like $100 million or something like that, and it's lucrative to be a good fighter nowadays. So those are the top three, the three big players controlling boxing with partnerships with streamers, basically. And of course, television networks, streamers and television networks. So what you notice is that HBO is out of the picture, and Showtime also is somewhat marginalized, but they're still kind of the fourth player, kind of, but it's looking more and more like those three will be controlling boxing for a long time. And HBO decided to get out of the boxing business. HBO, for years, since their beginning, they've been broadcasting big-time boxing matches and hosting pay-per-views. They've had boxing programs for years, and they've had the best, arguably the best, boxing analysts and color commentators for years. Of course, Showtime also having that feature, great analysts and color commentators. So I'm kind of interested in what Showtime does, and see if they will turn out to be the four big, complete that big four, or are they trying to kind of slide away? But who knows? So that's kind of the picture at the moment. And now I think the problem becomes, because of those four, three or four, the fighters who belong to different promoters and TV networks, now it's going to be more and more difficult to match them up, at least in their primes. And if the fight is truly huge enough, then cross promotions, cross network fights can happen, probably. They just have to make it work. Otherwise, it's just going to be tough. But historically, that has happened. Like when HBO and Showtime were around, Tyson versus Lewis took place. And when Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao were about to fight, HBO and Showtime made a deal, and Top Rank and Al Haymon reached the deal to make that fight happen. So I think those big fights could still happen, but I think with resurging talent overall in boxing, and because of these different networks and different promoters, it's going to be less easy for these big players to put on big boxing matches. In the past, you just host up a pay-per-view and boom, you let a fight happen. Now, subscription services. So what do? If you're subscribed to one network and you put on a big fight, are you going to just make a deal with the other and still show it? Or are you gonna upcharge for a bigger event that's cross-promotional, cross-network? That's kind of the question right now. So that's kind of the subject currently in the boxing world. And as far as some NFL news, it's kind of been quiet. There was a talk about Antonio Brown and Buffalo Bills joining forces, and that deal kind of collapsing at the last minute. And whatever happened, whether Antonio didn't want to sign the eventual deal with the Bills or the Bills not willing to surrender a lot of capital, who the hell knows, maybe a combination of both. So AB, and his name is linked to some teams such as the Raiders with a lot of draft capital and cap space. So we'll see what happens with Antonio Brown. So my thoughts on Antonio Brown is this. There are two possibilities. I think there's no question that Antonio Brown is acting very strange, just with his appearance and his talks and unusual behavior. So that could be explained by two things, one of two things. One, it could be that Antonio Brown is just making a outright bad decision, not advised by people with a lot of knowledge, and not having his interest in mind for the long term. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that he's kind of doing that on purpose to make sure that he actually gets traded, and just leaving no doubt that he just wants out of the Steelers completely. So with Terrell Owens and Philadelphia, we kind of saw this in the past, where the receiver just feels like he cannot work with the quarterback, and not respecting the quarterback at all. With Terrell Owens, it was Donovan McNabb, and the Eagles had to basically make a decision between Owens and Donovan, and because of the value of the position, the virtue of that alone, Philadelphia decided to back Donovan at the time and had to get rid of T.O., and T.O. was acquired by the Cowboys and had continued on with his career with Dallas. Eventually he landed in the Hall of Fame. Antonio Brown, there's no question about his ability and skills, and how is he going to play with his next team? That's one question, but because he's not past his prime, I think whoever acquires him, if they don't surrender ridiculous draft capital, that should be a decent acquisition, and Antonio should be able to give a few more good years for sure. So we'll see what happens. The other big free agent news was the acquisition of, or almost acquisition, or about to happen acquisition of Nick Foles by the Jaguars, and Philadelphia eventually deciding that it's time to kind of move on. And Nick Foles, knowing that he has a decent deal coming up, decides not to extend his contract with his option, and Philadelphia declining not to use the franchise tag because of other needs, and Foles now becoming a quarterback for the Jaguars. And now joining his former quarterback coach as the OC in Jacksonville. He has something going on for sure there. But Jacksonville will definitely have to make a lot of changes offensively and get Leonard Fournette up to speed on the nuances of the RPO offense and get a supplemental receiving back or a couple of them to make sure that the offense works. And Leonard Fournette, a high draft pick drafted in the top 10 by the Jaguars, is not your modern back. He is an old school back. He is effective in short yardage and effective running the ball inside with simple reads, power blocking, and the essence of what Nick Foles ran in Philadelphia successfully in Carson Wentz's absence is completely different than what the Jaguars were doing with Bortles and Fournette. So let's see how that marriage works. As far as Jacksonville, I think that's a good decision. Bring in the best available QB, and then in a year or two, if it doesn't work out or whatever, you can always think about drafting a quarterback. But this year, now you have a chance actually to draft a quarterback right away. And the question becomes, if you drafted a quarterback, do you have a ready to step in and win quarterback right now this year in this year's draft? And if you don't feel that way, then it's wiser to go with a free agent that you can trust in. And the situation of the team, them being very payroll heavy and built to win now, the decision to bring in a veteran quarterback makes more sense, just from my perspective, whereas it doesn't make sense for the Giants, because that team is missing several pieces. So let's see how that works. Also, Michael Bennett of the Philadelphia Eagles was released and I think is about to sign with the New England Patriots. I think Bennett is highly respected by all teams in the league, at least most teams, and his numbers with the Philadelphia Eagles were very good, and he's a highly, highly effective defensive end, excuse me, and he's a productive player. Is he in the back nine of his career? Yes, but he's still highly effective. So why did the Eagles decide to let him go? I think mainly they believe that after giving that deal extension to Brandon Graham and having a couple of other options at DE, Barnett especially, they feel like they're going to be okay, and they feel like going young and deep, and also for financial reasons. However, the effectiveness of Michael Bennett is probably still going to be missed, so let's see. So I think it's kind of a nod to BG and Barnett. I think the Eagles are trying to put more on their plate and get another rookie in there. I think that's the primary driver of that decision. And also, some might say, you know what, Michael Bennett, he's had supposedly some attitude issues and not the greatest locker room guy and always yapping or whatever. I don't know. I know there were some talks when he was in Seattle. He kind of was doing that or whatever, but I'm not familiar with the situation, and I did not read those reports about those things in detail enough to make a comment on that. So maybe I'll look more into it, and we'll see. And I guess to me, those are the big free agent moves thus far, sort of. And I think the big free agent names, those who got tagged, those situations haven't changed much, so I think I covered that separately anyway. And I'm gonna be interested in that Landon Collins situation and CJ Mosley situation with Baltimore. So a couple of veteran moves were also made. Eric Weddle got released by the Ravens, and now he's a Los Angeles Ram, I believe. And Adai was released by the Chargers recently, I saw. So these are just veteran moves, and it looks like the safety market is flooded with free agents right now, veteran free agents. That's bad news for the safety position if you're trying to score a big deal. Supply and demand, now there's an oversupply. As far as Eric Weddle, I think he was highly, highly effective last year. Does he gamble? Yes, absolutely. And that's partially why he's very effective. And he's one of the better safeties in terms of bluffing. And he's very good at crowding the box and moving away and giving you misdirections, giving quarterbacks misreads. And he's also still effective in coverage, not like in his younger days. He's kind of past his prime athletically, but he's a guy who can play the safety position with his mind really well. And, you know, speaking of that, the one and only Ed Reed made the Hall of Fame, and I'm looking forward to him actually getting that gold jacket and all that good stuff. One of my favorite players of all time. And Ed Reed's way of playing that free safety position is unparalleled. To this day, I go on Game Pass and watch some tape on the Baltimore defense. However far Game Pass goes back, I think 2011, 2012 or whatever. And Ed Reed, definitely one of my favorite players. And interestingly enough, these days there aren't quite a player like Ed Reed, not even close. And the closest to Ed Reed may be, I don't know if they're even, you know, in the same category. But the former Seahawks free safety. And in his case, I don't know if the, because of the market and the supply and demand situation, like I said, it'll be interesting whether the Cowboys will go after. And they're one team that is in the need of a good safety. And with Earl Thomas, I don't know. Earl Thomas, him being a former Texas college athlete, being from Texas, him fitting in with the Cowboys kind of makes sense, and I think the Cowboys fans wanted Earl to come in and all that stuff. But there are a lot of safeties available. And I think one notable team that also needs a solid free safety is the Kansas City Chiefs. They just need to win one or two playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, and they have the firepower to win the Super Bowl. So that's the situation. So yeah, let's end this talk and look forward to some boxing tonight and also next week, and there should be some good fights throughout the year, and there should be more news coming as far as free agency. The draft's coming up, and hoping to do round one or at least a one round mock draft at some point, and that'll be fun. So stay tuned, guys. I'm out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.